Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast for Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. We're all about helping churches send their own missionaries well. And so my name is Ed.
And my name is Jeff.
And we're going to continue in our series on missionary debriefing.
Exactly. We're going to cover debriefing today. Actually, we're going to continue sort of part two of what we covered in our last podcast under the umbrella of transitional debriefing. And before we get into it, I want to just make sure everybody understands what we mean when we talk about a missionary debriefing. The clearest definition that I can give is that it's a missionary debriefing is a relational and intentional process that gives the opportunity for a missionary to tell their story. They get to verbally process what they've experienced in the past, what's going on in their lives right now, from their point of view. And the key is that they do it with their emotional responses at the time and since then included. You know, in other words, they get to tell their story, not just what happened, but how they feel and how they felt about what happened.
Right, and the whole debrief sort of revolves around that missionary story. And it's usually a summation of all the relationships, all the activities, all the events that's happened in that missionary's life. And as we move into that, there may be little parts of the story that are expanded on, but we want to know the whole background.
Yeah, and we, you know, God has revealed himself in his word. 70% of the Bible is a story. It's a narrative. And so we come to know who God is by him telling us the story of what he's created and how he interacts with who and what he's created. And so it's helpful for us, created in his image and likeness, when we're able to tell our stories, and not just the events, but how we feel about the things that have taken place in our lives. And that's what debriefing is all about. So we covered last time like seven key things that when you're debriefed, that refresh a missionary. So we went through those last time. And today what we want to do is we want to talk about the reality that a debriefing is actually something that helps realign you for what God has for you next.
Right. And so the idea is as a missionary comes off the field, or even a missionary on the field, when they go through a debriefing, that there's this time of sort of retooling, realigning for their next season of ministry.
That's right. And what you have to do, and what we need to understand, is that, again, when a missionary goes to the mission field, their minds are prepared that they're going to be in a radically different place where everything is unfamiliar, and they're comfortable with that. They know it's going to be unfamiliar. And so there's certain things that they've prepared themselves for mentally, emotionally, spiritually. When they come back to the United States, they don't take the time to use those same things that they that they knew they were going to have to use to be successful on the field. They sort of think you don't need them when you come back to the United States. So in other words, what needs to happen is the same willingness they had to be realigned by God and their circumstances to be successful on the field, they also need to be realigned by God and by their circumstances for what God has for them next here in the United States.
So we're sticking with the idea of the transitional debrief. That's the missionary coming back from the field. We're not really working with the idea of a crisis debriefing, and we're not really speaking specifically about a maintenance debrief, the debriefing of missionaries while they're on the field or maybe on furlough. We're talking about that time when the missionaries come back from the field.
Yeah, and although some of these will overlap to a maintenance debrief,
sure,
somebody that's already on the field, mainly what these are for people that have made that transition back to pick up life in the United States. So what I want to do is kind of share, you know, five key areas that missionaries were willing to be realigned for success on the field that they also need to be willing to be realigned for regarding their life back here in the States. And the first one is this, and this is an important one. When they went to the field, they had to realign their life posture. And what I mean by that is that when you go to the mission field, and you're trying to understand and learn how to navigate in a new culture, in a completely new environment, with people that speak another language, the posture of your life, the way you carry yourselves, you go in as a learner. You go in as a listener. So you're in a listener, learner, observer frame of mind. And because you had that frame of mind, you didn't see specific things happening there in that culture and then draw hard and fast conclusions about them. You knew, hey, there's more that I need to understand about what's actually happening and why it's happening before I come to any conclusions. So your life posture that you had as you went to the mission field, which you were willing to do, you need to be willing to have that same life posture as you come back home. Be an observer, a listener, and a learner, even though it's your own people.
I remember landing on the mission field and just realizing I know nothing about this place. As much as I had studied, as much as I'd learned, as many times as I sat down with people and picked their brains, I knew nothing. And, you know, coming back from the mission field, it's kind of the same thing again, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because America is changing so fast. And not only has it changed, it's the rate of change is so fast that, goodness, you have to be a learner.
You have to, but it's funny, we don't naturally incline ourselves to be learners when we come back because we think, as we talked about in the last podcast, we're coming home. They speak our language. They basically eat the same food that we do. We know what it's like to live here because this is where we grew up. And so the priority of coming in with a listener, learner, observer mindset, it's just not at the forefront of our mind. We think we're just going to fit right back in automatically. And so we don't take a live posture status here like we did over there.
So there's no presumption that I will fit right back in. It's the idea of need to learn. And, you know, Jeff, I don't know if you've thought about this part of it, but I think that even needs to be applied to our relationships. I no longer fit in. And this is uncomfortable to say. Maybe I don't fit in the way I used to fit into my family. My family loves me and I love them. And they're still, you know, they haven't kicked me out, but they've been used to me not being around.
That's right. And honestly, you've changed.
Yeah.
Here's another challenge that missionaries don't think through all the way is they know they've changed because they've been out of the country and they learned a new language and they've learned to navigate successfully in a whole different country, culture, language. And so they know that they've changed, but somehow in their minds, when they get back to the U.S., they kind of think that everybody went static when they left, that they're going to pick right up with the relationships they had before they left. And they don't realize that the people back here's lives changed too in radically different ways.
Yeah.
So you're not the same person and neither are they that you come back and try to connect with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So one of the other things about this whole life posture and being willing to go in as an observer and a learner and a listener is, you know, one of the reasons missionaries were willing to do that out on the field was they didn't want to offend people needlessly. Their goal was to represent Jesus and to bring the gospel and to show how much God loves these people. And so if you have those things in mind, you want to minimize needless offense to people, right? So if the missionary was willing to realign their posture to avoid bringing needless offense on the field, well, that same truth has to happen for them back here in the United States. They need to be coming in and as learners, listeners, and observers so that they don't needlessly offend people that they want to represent Jesus to right now.
Yeah, and that gets down to even language issues. I know for my children where we served, the community spoke very frankly of race. I mean, even calling each other by what in America would be thought of as negative racial terms. So we had to coach our kids. You can't say that when you get back to the States. You're going to cause offense. But it was a normal way, an unoffensive. It was actually just a common thing where we came from. And here, you can't. So you have to come as a learner.
Yeah, you do have to come as a learner. And as goofy as most Christians think it is with our, quote, political correctness that we have here in the United States, whether you like it or not, that has become a key component of this culture. And if you don't use terminology that's kind of within the pale of political correctness, you're actually going to alienate yourself and you may offend people that you're trying to represent Jesus to, and they're just going to turn you off.
Yeah.
Because you haven't taken the time to learn the right terminology. And really what we're talking about here, Ed, in the bigger missions realm is contextualization.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
What we're saying is, hey, missionary, to be successful on the field and to package Jesus and his truths in the right way for the people on the field, you had to change your life posture.
Right.
Well, to accomplish the same purpose back here in the United States, you have to have the same life posture as a learner, a listener, and an observer.
Well said.
Yeah. So the second thing And this is, wow, this is a huge subject in the realm of missions, also in marriages, and even in friendships, is the whole idea of expectations. And when a missionary goes to the field, they have, hopefully, if they've been trained and equipped, they have some realistic expectations. They had to realign expectations. In other words, if they went over there thinking that they're going to learn the language quickly, that it's going to be easy to adjust to day-to-day life, that it's going to be easy to make friendships. Oh, that, hey, when we're going to eat, we need to buy groceries, we're just going to run down to the grocery store. Well, guess what? To be successful on the field, they had to put all expectations at a minimal level to be successful out there. Well, the same thing applies. You've got to be willing to readjust your expectations for life back here in America.
I think, again, that comes into relationships. Americans have a very different process in relationships than most other countries. Not all, but most other countries. And so the things that we came to know as far as developing relationships in other places, come back here, you know, we operate different. And yet we're changed. Missionaries are changed as they reenter.
Exactly. And if you come back expecting, in other words, you knew going to the mission field that real deep relationships are going to take time because of the language and the culture. But once you have those and you treasure those, when you come back to the States, you think because they're my people, they speak my language, my culture is similar to them, I'm going to be able to build these deep relationships quickly because I'm back in my home turf. Oh, no, you've got to scrap that idea. Yeah. Because relationships are as difficult to build here, if not more difficult, than they are overseas because our culture is so task and time oriented.
Yeah, we could spend a lot of time on this, but the way that different cultures develop trust in relational trust varies greatly. Sometimes it's an issue of time. Sometimes it's an issue of telling each other your story. Sometimes it's an issue of breaking bread together. But it's seldom the same. And you come back here, and what we did intuitively before we left for the field, we kind of forget about it, and we no longer are good at it.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the examples of that is, I know one of our missionaries serves in Eastern Europe, and he was telling me about the different categories that define relationships. And so in the culture where he's working, there's a big difference between somebody who's an acquaintance and somebody who's a friend. And so you don't use the word, this is my friend. You don't introduce this person as my friend until you have a depth and a level of relationship with them that warrants that. If you say this person is my friend, when really it's still the process of getting acquainted, it can be very offensive. So we don't categorize things like that, but those are things that you get used to out on the field, and you've got to then learn what that looks like back here in the United States, and you've got to have realistic expectations.
Well said.
And one other point on this, as far as expectations is, you know, what the way God's wired us is that we want to contribute. We want to be significant in the lives of other people. And you knew, missionaries know going to the field, that they needed to lower their expectations as far as how long it took to be a contributor to their neighborhood, yeah, to their community, to the people that are in their lives. They knew that would take time, and so their expectations were low. Well, in the same way, you come back to the United States and you want to be a contributor. You feel like God's given you an inventory and some experiences that you can be a blessing with to other people. If you expect the people here to recognize your inventory quickly and you can start contributing into their lives immediately, you're going to be sorely depressed and discouraged, because that's not the way it works here, and that takes sometimes even more time than it does overseas.
Yeah, you go from having a position of influence and a position of leadership to kind of being just, you know, another solid Christian person. And that's not bad.
Yeah.
It takes a humbleness, though, to remember, I'm just another servant.
Exactly. And one of the things we wrestle with as Americans, I think culturally, nationally, and certainly individually, is we love to be givers. We don't like being receivers.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, most people that I know, Americans, if you've got a problem, you got a car issue, you're broke down, they need help, you're eager to help them out. But when something goes sideways with you, you try to avoid everything possible to call somebody else and ask them for help, right?
That's right, yeah.
So we're hardwired to be givers rather than receivers. And so when you go to the field, you know your expectations of when you make that transition from being a receiver to a giver, it's going to take time. But we think when we come back to the United States, hey, we're going to immediately be able to start picking up being a giver, when in reality, no, lower those expectations and be a receiver for a time. All right. So number three is, you know, the missionaries that go to the field, they had to adjust. They had to realign their responses to the day-to-day circumstances and situations that are part of life, you know, in a cross-cultural environment. Even though, you know, most people would say they believe in the sovereignty of God, they seldom walk through the implications of what that means. If God is in control, if God is sovereign, then whatever happens, he's permitted it to happen. And so when they went to the field, their sovereignty of God theology was put to the test. And so they responded in these unique ways, in these blessed ways. When you come back to the United States, where everything's familiar and comfortable, that sovereignty of God theology sort of gets put on the shelf. And then, whereas overseas, you would have reacted very calmly, maybe patiently. Here, something goes sideways, you immediately get angry and act in the flesh.
Yeah, well, we're used to having control here.
Yes.
And because we don't have that control.
Yeah.
And maybe overseas, we have a you know, our listeners may have a wide spectrum of beliefs on this, but I think we would all agree, we overseas, we see the spiritual conflict at a much greater level. It's obvious to us.
Yes.
And we don't always see it in our own land.
Right.
And yet, it's the same enemy there as it is here.
Yes.
It's just we're kind of used to his ways here. We kind of take it for granted, maybe.
Yeah, and I think again, when you're on the field, you recognize that you're a foreigner and people are watching you. The nationals, they're watching you.
The fishbowl.
So you're you're in a fishbowl. But it's exhilarating because you have this mindset in the sovereignty of God that whatever happens to me, my neighbors are watching how I respond. So Lord, help me to respond in a way that unpacks your awesomeness, your glory. Yeah. And for some reason, when we get back to the States, where everything seems to be structured and organized and efficient and convenient, and something goes sideways, the first thing we want to do is say, ah, I can't believe that happened. We don't think, hey, there's an opportunity to respond properly so people can see God in me. We sort of left that on the mission field. So in debriefing, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the missionaries to recognize as they were willing to have their responses realigned for success overseas, they've got to be willing to have their responses realigned for success back here in the United States.
Well said, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay, so number four is, and this one's a little dicey, but we got to bring it up.
You brought something dicey up, Jeff?
Yeah, we bring up dicey things sometimes, you know. And one of those things is their appearance. Okay, now what I mean by that is, if you're going to be successful in another country, in another culture, you got to be aware of how you look physically, the length of your hair, the way you wear your hair, the kind of clothing you wear, the lack of clothing that you wear. You're being watched because you are a foreigner. You're an outsider. And so because we want our message to be heard, we don't want our individualism and our individual identity expression to actually muffle our message, right?
Right.
So missionaries were willing to change their appearance for on-ramps, inroads into people's lives on the field.
Go ahead. You know, it's interesting, Jeff. I was just watching a newscast the other day, and the news speaker had her hair up around her face, framing her face very far forward, and I didn't trust her, and I started to ask, why don't I trust her? Because where I had served, when you cover parts of your face with your hair, that you're hiding something. It's a way of being secretive. And I realized, well, I'm bringing that back to here. So you're right in the sense that where I was willing to adapt there, I need to be able to adapt here.
Exactly.
Now, what our listeners don't know is Jeff and I are doing the podcast in our shorts and T-shirts right now.
Actually, we could do that here. Nobody would care because it's America. But one of the examples that I use when I talk to people is the idea of shorts. Especially people from California, they just love wearing shorts, especially when it's hot. But when you go overseas to most countries, the only people that wear shorts, men that wear shorts, are foreigners. They're tourists that are there to spend money. They're not people that care about the culture. So an American gets somewhere and they have all their shorts and they're hot. It's hot there. So you see the American walk around with shorts on when all of the men, especially, have pants on. And so what you're doing is a daily declaration of, I won't adjust so that you'll accept me as one among you. I've got to express my own individuality and my need to be cool, and cool temperature-wise. Mm-hmm. and it's your responsibility to accept me the way I am.
Yeah, you know, Jeff, I had a reverse experience coming over from East Africa where, you know, I often preached in a tie.
Yes.
And a coat often. And I came to a conference here in America one time on a furlough, and I come from a very relaxed group of churches, and I said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to the conference. I'm going to put on some shorts and a t-shirt and be just like all my other brothers in this group. And I walked out of my dorm room, and I had to go back into the dorm and change. I didn't quite put on a tie, but I was so uncomfortable after being in East Africa. And yet probably what I should have done is adapt to my brothers here a little more. Yeah, I had a hard time.
And again, that's what's hard for us as Americans is again, our culture is built on individualism and self-expression, self-identity. Separate yourself from everyone else in whatever way possible, including your dress, your hair, whatever. Well, on the field, you adjusted all those things because you knew you had to,
right,
to reach these people. So you just got to come back to the U.S. and recognize that you may need to realign your appearance to be effective in people's lives here, even though there's great freedom here to express your individualism through your hair color, hairstyle, length of hair, what you wear, and so forth.
Or lack of hair in my case.
Or lack of hair in your case. Yeah, yes. Exactly. All right, and then last one, because we're almost done, is what they were thankful for. And what I mean by that is when missionaries go to the field, they realigned the things that they gave God thanks for. And one of the things you realize when you live in another country like we did and like you did, Ed, is, hey, electricity, when you turn on the light and there's actually electricity, you say, thank you, Lord, the electricity's on.
We say, buona safiwe, which means praise the Lord.
Yeah, when you turn on the light switch, yeah, and you get lights, thank the Lord. When you open your faucet and there's actually water that comes out of the faucet.
Hot water's even better.
And hot water even better. So you missionaries have realigned the things that stimulate thankfulness.
Yeah.
Out on the field because of the reality of where they live. And so now when they're back in the United States, they need to recognize that there's things that they need to give thanks for here that
Amen.
Literally everyone else here just takes for granted. And that thankfulness is an incredible tool that God can use to be able to talk about his awesomeness and his goodness and help get Americans to see so many of the things that they take for granted are actually his grace and goodness on their lives. And they need to be thankful for them.
Yeah, and being thankful for these blessings that God has endowed upon our country. I mean, we can't deny the greatness he's given us. But also to not go the other side and have that anger when that system has fallen apart for a moment. Power's out for an afternoon, or our water's not working, or whatever the situation is. Because I've had the opposite problem. When it's not working here, I've lost my cool a few times when one of those things, my computer goes down or whatever it is.
Right.
And so I want to keep that attitude of gratitude with all the blessings God's given.
Yeah. And that's a whole nother subject that you just recently wrote a blog post about, the attitude of gratitude. And so, you know, whereas overseas, when you connected to the internet and you got, it took you 10 minutes, you said, thank you, Lord, it only took 10 minutes to connect to the internet. Here, if you're not connected, like within a second and a half, you're angry and you're cussing your computer or or you want to call the electric company or the internet provider, it's like, eh. So missionaries have realigned themselves in these five areas to be successful on the field. And what needs to happen is they need to be realigned, at least in those areas, for life back here in the U.S., but they don't realize that, and a debriefing helps them to see that.
Yeah, walking through the debrief with a missionary, it helps them realign so they receive these gifts. They've changed their view. And what that does is realign them because, borrowing the term from car mechanics, it's to go forward. And so for that next stage of life, whatever God has for them, their capacity as ministers of the gospel is extremely high. And we want them realigned so they can continue at that capacity or maybe even greater capacity than what they've done in the past.
Yeah. And that pretty much summarizes it for us, you know, as a ministry, by personal experience and then as a ministry with all the missionaries that we serve. When transitional debriefing, meaning those that are debriefed because they've moved back to life in the United States, when they're debriefed, they are certainly refreshed and they are certainly realigned. And when they're refreshed and realigned, their preparedness for whatever God has for them next is going to be so much greater. There's going to be so much greater joy in their lives, and they're going to be so encouraged that God has incredible things for them back here in the same way he had for them over there.
Well said, Jeff. Now, again, we are speaking of a transitional debrief, that time when a missionary comes off the field or potentially maybe goes to a new field. And they spend that time, I don't want to use the word with a professional, but with a trained person, with an experienced person to do this debriefing. When they've spent that time to realign them for that next season, we will, in a future podcast, speak of a maintenance debrief, a time during a furlough or the time on field. What I want you to know is some of you are probably being stimulated right now or starting to think about missionaries you know coming off the field, or potentially you're a missionary that's coming off the field and you're thinking, wow, I'd like to know more about this, or I'd potentially like a debriefing. We want to encourage you to check out a couple of resources. One of them is Missions Training International, MTI. They're in Colorado. Excellent group. They do an excellent debrief. It's a week long. The people we suggest very highly is traininternational.org. They're a partner with our ministry. We appreciate them greatly. They offer a retreat setting for missionaries, and it's an excellent, excellent debriefing setting, and they're very well trained. And then, of course, Jeff and I have training also, and we have a couple of different models we'd love to take people through if interested. If you have any other questions, please feel free to contact us. We would love to help you walk down this road, maybe give you some other resources. God bless you until next time.